Welcome back to another episode of Mastermind Moments. I'm your host, John Visser, and today with me, we have a very, very special guest, Dave Covington. Dave, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Mr. Visser.
That's great. That's great. Now, Dave, before we continue with your conversation and all the great things that you're going to talk to us about today, I just want to give a quick shout out to our friends over at Nexus Podcast Network. Guys, thank you very much for sponsoring the show. We appreciate you guys for making this possible. Now, Dave, let's focus on you because you are the superstar of today's show. And what we're going to do today is we want to talk about the new book that you are publishing because I so love a good book to read. Please tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, sir. The name of my book is The Memoirs of Simon Chastity. The genre is romance, but tragedy also. So it's a romantic tragedy. It has a nice storyline to it. Sam is a Native American teenager from Colorado. He gets sent to Arkansas, total different culture. He meets up with Chastity. She's a white country girl. And since he's Native American, she's a white country girl, he's not very well accepted in town. They go on to meet and they fall in love. Even though society doesn't think they should be together, they still fall in love. They go on. He joins the Navy. She goes into nursing, into a college. They meet up again and he proposes to her. They go on and have a family. But it's not what you would typically think of as a steamy romance. A knight in shining armor goes to save his lady. I write it very realistically. So there is abuse that happens in their young lives. There is mental illness that happens later on in the story due to the abuse that they suffered in their younger lives. And then there's some twists and turns along the way, and there's a surprise ending. So I just wanted to give you a little teaser about it, but I'm not going to tell you the whole story.
You're not going to do a spoiler alert here for me, aren't you? So I have to go and read the book now. Awesome, awesome. Very much. All right. Now, Dave, from what I understand, this is not your first book that you've written. How did you come to the topic of this new book that you wrote?
Well, anytime that I write, loosely based off of events that's happened in my life. And the characters in the stories are based off of characters of people that's passed through or are currently in my life. So this current story happens to be very true to heart because my wife is a nurse. I was in the military. We both suffer from bipolar. I also, not only bipolar, but I also suffer from schizoid affect disorder. Basically what that means is that bipolar can cause a schizophrenia at certain times. And so writing this book was very cathartic for me to do. I was able to create characters and put it in kind of a fun way, but more realistic to the story. So that's how I came about writing this particular book.
So because a lot, like you said, a lot of the stuff that you talked about in the book is actually things that you've done in either you or somebody in your life has done themselves. So let's pause a little bit and talk about Dave Covington, where you come from and how you got to where you are today. Where did you grow up as a child? Where did Dave Covington's life start?
I was born in California, in Los Angeles County. In 1970, I'm old. In 1979, when I was 9 years old, a young lad, we moved to Colorado. And that was quite a change from California to Colorado, especially southeastern Colorado, where I live in the plains. And then from there, I went on through high school. After high school, went back to California, had some fun, joined the Navy. Joined the Navy. Of course, you see the commercials. They're like, "Oh, join the Navy, see the world." I'm like, "Yeah," but I never went on a boat. I never went anywhere. I did my boot camp in San Diego. I went to my A school in San Diego, Balboa Hospital, and then I worked at Balboa Hospital, and then I got stationed to Pensacola, Florida, and then I eventually got out. I did my 4 years, got out. After I got out, I was working, met my wife at a hospital that I was working in, and she encouraged me to follow up on my education. I told her that I wasn't that smart, that I didn't want to go to college. I just wanted to do just straight labor. And she said, "No, you're smarter than you think you are. You are going to go to college and you are going to use that GI Bill." I'm like, "Okay." So I ended up going to college. It took me a long time, but I did graduate with a bachelor's in special education. And I had taught for 4 years. And then this is where the mental illness came in. I had late, what they called a late onset. It happened at the school that I was teaching in. Nobody got hurt except for me. I kind of lost my teaching career. But I do stay involved with Special Olympics. There are certain things that I do with the special needs population that I stay involved with. And that's Special Olympics and, little festivals and little dances and things that I love that population. And so I do stay involved with that. I like to have fun. I like to write, of course. I write poetry, short stories, poems, and I love to go out to the movies. I love to travel. I've been to, I think, 45 of the United States, and I've been to six, no, seven foreign countries. And so I really do like to travel. And
So now, in our discussion before we, before this episode, you also mentioned that you do martial arts and that you had I think a black belt, you said. That probably gave you a lot of credibility at school. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, sir. When I was 13 years old, I was bullied a lot. I was kind of a skinny kid. I got bullied and I needed to find a way, And so my parents got me into Taekwondo and eventually I worked my way up, became a black belt, started teaching my own school in my own dojang. Eventually I progressed and now I'm a third degree black belt. I don't so much teach anymore, but I do stay involved. I love to go to the competitions and judge. I love to work with kids one-on-one. And it did give me a lot of credibility to the schools because that was one of the pluses of why I got hired initially in Arkansas was that they needed somebody strong enough to be able to handle certain situations if the kids got out of hand.
And so, yeah, and so it probably gave you that balance between, being a fun teacher, but also having the authority necessary to keep everybody in check and prevent classes from getting completely out of hand.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you can present yourself in such a way that you don't have to get physical at all. You just have to have that confidence to go, it's not gonna happen. Let's sit back down. So you just give that look, You have that confidence when you attain the level that I'm at. I'm of the essence that I don't ever have to fight, because I have that confidence to walk away.
And you know what? 90% of battles are won better that way by just, walking away rather than looking for the confrontation. Now, I couldn't help but notice that you are also wearing a Buddhist attire here. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about that?
About 9 years ago, I, like I said, with as much that I went through with what I seen in the military, even those hospitals, what a disruption of families, the negativity that I seen in schools, there was no peace. I had no peace with my own mental illness and everything else that I had saw in this world. So I decided I've always loved the Buddhist philosophy. through college, through high school, everything. I've always loved the Buddhist philosophy. So when I got the opportunity, I started looking into it. When I looked into it, I thought, yes, this is for me. Went on some journeys. I've traveled to India, traveled to Thailand, went on pilgrimages, came back home, decided I was going to start wearing the attire, start living the life, not the lifestyle, but the life. There's a difference between living a lifestyle and living a life. And I tried to live the life of a Buddhist. I'm very essential with everything that I do, and I try to follow all of the practices. And it's not just for show, it's because of who I am now.
And so, you know, when you mentioned that when you had the late onset of your bipolar mental disorder that got, and that eventually, you know, forced you to look for an alternative, because you weren't able to teach anymore, what made you decide that you want to become an author? Because I know earlier you mentioned before you went to study, you said you wanted to do labor, right? People would have thought probably you would have gone back to a labor job, but you didn't. You became an author. That's quite interesting.
Thank you. Well, like I said, my wife is the one to give that credit to. She encouraged me to push through college. By pushing through college, it gave me that confidence to go, wait a second, maybe I do have an ability to do certain things that I didn't think I could do. Now, maybe I could actually write books. Maybe I can actually tap into that inner side of me that loves to write, you know. And so, like I said, it went short steps, you know. Poetry, I love poetry. Shakespeare, you know, a lot of the other poets, Maya Angelou and Robert Whittaker, all of the classics. And that got me to writing poetry. Poetry led to short stories, and short stories led to full-on books. And so my wife gave me that confidence to be able to do that.
All right. And so this is not your first book. Tell us a little bit about your first book. Was that also published?
It was. It was also published. It was called Playing in the Dark. It was written in 2001, I think. So it's about 24 years old. When I write, it's about my life, people, stories, you know, things like that. It was based on elementary rather than high school and adulthood. So, you know, it talked about a young boy going from Colorado into California and, you know, into a city. And he's a country kid going into a city and all of those yanks that young children go through, you know, when they transfer into a city school. And then he eventually loses his grandfather and they're away. So they make that trek back home to Colorado towards the end.
And the first book, was that written prior to the onset of your bipolarism, or was that after as well?
No, that first book was pretty much the beginning of the onset of the bipolar.
And do you think that, you know, the onset of the bipolarism had a great impact on how you would write versus if you wouldn't have had that?
I believe it does, because bipolar kind of connects the brain differently. And if I overthink certain things, then I don't write as well, because I'm like, oh gosh, I have to think it this way, make it this way, make it that way. I hate to say this, but mental illness actually makes me a better person, better writer, because I am more conscious of life. I'm more conscious of how I write, what I write, and what the message I want to get out.
And so let's move back to the current book here. And then what we want to do is we want to look a little bit forward. What's next on your plate here?
Well, the current book, like I said, I'm actually trying to market right now. And I wrote it, and it came out of the market last year. And I am promoting it every which way that I can. I'm going out on Book signings. Most of my book signings are through Barnes and Nobles, but I also do other bookstores, festivals, wherever I can do a book signing, I'll be there. I have marketing on, I have my own website. I have my own Facebook. I'm doing a podcast with Mr. John Visser. And eventually I'm going to be doing a television interview with Logan Crawford. I don't know if you know him or not, but
That's very exciting.
Yes, sir.
When is that going to happen?
That will happen next month in August.
All right. And so for the book signings, if people want to, excuse me, come and meet you at the book signings, where can they get a schedule for the dates where you're going to be?
That schedule is going to be on my website. And that website is www.dave-covingtonwrites.com. And in that website, it will show basically the schedule about the book, about me, my life story. And then there's a link onto the Facebook, and you can see some of the pictures.
Dave, now, you know, when we talked before the show, you mentioned the bipolarism, and I do apologize for circling back to this, but I find it extremely interesting for various couple of reasons. One is, you know, like I told you, I have some family members in my own family that has been diagnosed with bipolarism. Unfortunately, they don't manage it very well, and it's a really hard disease for all surrounding families to be involved in when it's unmanaged. But you don't just have the bipolarism, you have another mental illness as well. If you're comfortable enough, would you please, you know, talk a little bit about more, because what you're doing with the writing the books and stuff, a lot of people are using their mental illness as an excuse to not do anything, but you're using it as a motivator that you says it's making you a better person. You know, tell us a little bit. Let's start with the bipolarism. Tell us a little bit more exactly how it works, and how you look after yourself with it.
So with my bipolarism, I don't tend to rapid cycle. Some people rapid cycle, they'll go through 4 or 5 emotions a day. I don't tend to do that. Mine's not rapid cycling, and I don't go from lows to highs per se. Mine goes from I'm okay to I'm very, very manic. I need to get stuff done, and everything has to be in order, and everything has to be this. I'm just like flying, you know. And then sometimes it can lead into anger. But how I maintain it is two things. One, medication. You have to take your medications in order to keep it straight in your head. And so I am prescribed on certain medications. Number two, and the most important for me as a Buddhist, is I meditate. Meditation does a lot of things that people would not believe would do. Whether you're ill or not, I believe highly in meditation. I'm able to just sit down in the lotus position, close my eyes, and meditate for 45 minutes to an hour, and I wake up, I'm refreshed, I'm calm, I'm good to go. And then I'll get ramped up during the day, and then I'll take that time again towards the evening, slow down, sit down, close my eyes, meditate for an hour, and then I'm good to go. So mine is controlled by medication and meditation.
And I think it's something we all need to aspire to, is to take time out of our own days and just slow down and just, you know, switch electronics off. I find a lot of people these days are not comfortable in their own minds. They prefer to keep themselves busy with all sorts of distractions rather than to like what you are doing, like to just sit down and meditate and be within your own thoughts. So kudos for you for doing that. Now let's talk about the second disease there. I'm trying to find the name here because I can't pronounce it. I'm not a medical professional, but I'm just going to leave it over to you.
Okay. The schizoid affective, initially, when this onset happened, I was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. I had trouble leaving the house. And when I did leave the house, I was constantly vigilant, looking around. You know, I couldn't get out of it. If I went somewhere, I couldn't get out of the vehicle to go into the stores or anything like that. Go out to check the mail. You know, it was very crippling to me. Then as time passed, I got to a point, along with some medications that got changed, it changed my brain set, my mindset. Now I'm very comfortable with everybody. You know, everybody's my friend. So, you know, I'll talk to anybody. I'll talk to the cashier at the local gas station. You know, I talk to people on the bus. I talk to people when I travel. You know, I'm really good to go with that. But what I'm diagnosed with now is a schizoid affect disorder, not a full schizophrenia. So schizoid affect disorder comes from bipolar. So whenever my bipolar acts up enough that it brings on the schizophrenia, sometimes I hear things, sometimes I see things. Sometimes I get that feeling like, oh, I got to be vigilant, but it's not, does not last, but like maybe 5 minutes if that, and you know, at most like 20 minutes, but it's not truly from the schizophrenia. It's kind of brought on by the manic episodes from bipolar.
Okay, gotcha. Well, Dave, thank you so much for being honest with us about that. I do really appreciate it because there's a lot of people out there that I can imagine that even though we are in the 21st century and even though we are in modern ages, there's, you know, can't help but people are still connecting certain stigmas and certain labels towards mental illnesses, which means that people are scared to come out and to talk about it. So, you know, I want to thank you for doing it. Hopefully it will give somebody else that's listening to this episode also the courage to come out and talk about it. Because I also, you know, talking about it is also a way of understanding it better and managing it yourself better, right? So your book, where can we come and go and buy that book?
Actually, it is not in the bookstores, but it is on Amazon.com. It is on BarnesandNobles.com. You can find it on eBay, Reader's House, a lot of websites, and you can find it on. But those are the main .coms, is the Barnes and Nobles, Amazon, and eBay.
So I'm assuming we can get it in paperback and in electronic version.
I do have the paperback and I do have the ebook available.
Wonderful. So when is your next book signing and where, just for interest's sake, if somebody is there, they are listening within the next, let's say 2 weeks, and they are in the vicinity, we would love them to come out and say hi to you.
Sure. I am going to be taken off for Texas. I'll be down in Garland, Texas on Saturday the 5th. This July 5th, I'll be at the Barnes & Nobles doing a book signing there.
All right. Well, folks, there you have it. If you guys are in the vicinity during that time, go look up Dave Covington. He's a really nice guy to sit down and talk with and very interesting stuff. I myself am going to definitely get a copy of that book to read because I need something to read while I'm going on holiday here in August. Dave, and then most of all, I want to thank you for taking the time to come onto the podcast and sharing all this wealth of information with us today. We appreciate you. We appreciate what you've shared with us. And I want to wish you good luck with your future endeavors and with the book that you're busy launching.
Thank you very much, sir. And like I said, as a final hurrah, I just want to say that, you know, no matter how big, small, tall, skinny, you know, mental illness or not, You know, everybody has the power to accomplish what they want to accomplish. Nobody should be feel like they can't accomplish something based off of somebody what else says. You have that power. You take power, no matter what your case is. As in my case, you have that power to accomplish things. Just go out and do it.
Yes, because for everything you can use it as a motivator, like you've done, and instead of having people putting you under a certain label and then using it as an excuse not to accomplish what you want to accomplish. So congratulations. What you've done is no small feat, and hopefully really, really inspiring to a lot of people out there.
Thank you, sir.
And then thank you to the listeners out there that hopefully you guys aren't listening to this while you are driving or looking at the screens while you are driving. But other than that, thank you very much, guys. Until next time, we are looking forward to seeing you again. We'll be right back.